Good morning. Welcome to this Lord's Day service. Pray that you're looking forward to this Lord's Day to worship together and to encourage one another from God's word, from singing, and from engaging in the means of grace together. Just now, let me invite you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 as we begin our worship. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13 to 16. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13 to 16. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, we read it to call ourselves to the act of worship of our God, says the following: I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will display at the proper time, who is he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in inapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful to you for this Lord's Day, 19th of April. Thank you that you've given us life to come this far, particularly in our context of the coronavirus. Many lives have been lost, yet you've preserved our lives. You've preserved them for a purpose. We do ask, therefore, that as we live every day, every moment, help us to be grateful that you have chosen to give us life today. So may we come with this gratitude that you are God who gives life, a God who himself is immortal, one alone who deserves to be honored. We ask our Father that you be honored today in our worship together. So bless us, your children. Lift our hearts to yourself. Cause that everything we will do will be done for your glory. Thank you for each and every family that our Father have gathered, and together as a church, all minister to us. Oh Lord, we ask that we will cause this come to an end, the coronavirus issue, that one Lord's Day, the Thursdays, Saturdays, and Tuesdays, we will meet to worship you as corporate bodies and cell groups. So hearken to our cry. Bless our worship today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We will now worship the Lord together by singing song number 122 from Grace Hymns, Sovereign Ruler of the Skies. In these difficult times, we want to acknowledge that there is God who is a sovereign ruler, not only of human lives, but of everything and of every creature. And as the praise team has always been leading us, particularly during this period of extraordinary times, we'll invite them to lead us in singing 122 Grace Hymns, Sovereign Rule of the Skies. And after that, they'll continue to lead us in worship by still giving us one song, even as they enable us with them to worship the Lord together. Praise team, it's your time.
Oh, even
Thank you. Grateful for the ministry of singing. Two church notices. Again, as I said last Lord's Day, if there will be any notices, we will post them on the platform that has been created for us as a local church. But one is simply to remind us that the nominations for the office of deacons are still open. Please do pass through Vayenga's office. If you need a soft copy, just ask Vayenga, who will send you one, and nominate a person you think is qualified to serve as deacon, and find somebody to second that nomination. Then drop off the nomination slip with Vayenga, with me. I am generally here throughout the week, except on Mondays. So please do bring those notices of nominations. The second, as alluded to, is that we've created a WhatsApp group for all the members of the local church. But its purpose is primarily one-way communication. It will be communication from the officers to the members. And in responding, you do not respond on this platform. You respond to the officers involved or a particular officer involved. So if I post something on this platform, you respond on my WhatsApp number, not on this WhatsApp group. So it's a communication tool, once for all. So please, when you do receive communication, do know this is the official church WhatsApp group for communication from each one of us. From my perspective, let me say the third notice. Please do feel free. Whenever you feel like coming through, there will be reasonable social distancing, but do come to my office if you have need. You want us to pray together, even just to talk. You too lonely, you can come. If you need me to come to your home, please do feel free. Just text. I will be there as soon as possible. I know that one of the challenges of this time is loneliness, and we can also encourage one another as we visit. Well, those are the notices. Let me now invite the praise team to lead us in singing a song they have chosen as we give offering. I am trusting that even as we worship from our various homes, you are still faithful. You are still faithful to worship God in your offering and your tithes. And just now we'll be singing a song and the praise team will be leading us. So as the praise team sings, please, the one that has been assigned to collect offering in your home, it will be that time for them to collect offering. May I encourage that if you have children there, give them that opportunity to serve in collecting offering, and give them the responsibility to bring it. If you come with them, bring it. In our home, our son brings the offering to Vayenga's office. Give them that opportunity to be developed to serve in local church life. Praise team, please do lead us. And when the praise team will have sung, one from among them will pray for the offering. When the praise team will have sung, one from among them will pray for the offering.
Baby. thanks to the Lord for what we have given to him. Our dear loving Father, God in heaven, once again we quieten our hearts before your throne of grace and mercy, giving thanks unto your holy name for your faithfulness and goodness to each one of us. We thank you, O God, that by your mercies, O God, you have made it possible for us to gather in our homes to listen to your word. We praise you, O God, that you are the giver of all good and perfect gifts. Even out of what you have given to us, O God, we pray that as families we'll be able to give an offering to you so that it will be used for the extension of your own kingdom. We do pray and ask all this through Christ's name. Amen.
Grateful, trusting that you've worshipped God in giving, but also in following the praise team as they led us in singing. Just now, a parallel reading of scripture, and it is from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And that's one of the passages of scripture I will be referring to this morning in preaching. Matthew and chapter 6, verse 25 to 33. Verse 25 to 33, Matthew chapter 6, our parallel reading of the scriptures. I begin reading from the English Standard Version. Matthew 6, 25 to 33. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Lord Jesus Christ, exhorting the saints, the disciples, to trust him and him alone for all issues of life. Well, we'll again be ministered to by the praise team as we worship God in song by singing song number 14 from the supplement. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. Grace supplement number 14, as we gather, may your spirit work within us. Praise team, please.
Spirit work within us.
invite you now, as we come to the Lord, in listening to Him, as He speaks to us through His Word, to turn to James. James chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. James chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. And this morning, not so much a textual exposition, but more of topical treatment of what is happening in our time, the elephant in the room, coronavirus. General lessons from the scripture principles regarding COVID-19. General lessons from the scripture principles regarding COVID-19. I indicated as we read Matthew 6, that's one of the passages we'll be referring to, and one of the key passages is James chapter 4, verse 13 to 16, and the scriptures read as follows. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. General lessons from the scripture principles regarding COVID-19. We're answering the question, what can we learn from this crisis, from this pandemic, from this life that we've been forced to live? What principles do the scriptures have in how we respond, how we think, how we view life? General lessons from the scripture principles regarding COVID-19. Literally, our lives have been turned upside down. Our plans have been frustrated. Life is no longer the same. What does the Bible have to say in a situation like this to ourselves, our neighbors, to our families, to us as a church, really as humanity as a whole? Well, firstly, simply this, that COVID-19, as far as the general principles of the scriptures are concerned, is a call not to take life and your way of life for granted. If there is a lesson that we have learned, every single human being under the earth, this is a lesson we've been confronted to deal with, and it is simply this. Do not take life and your way of life for granted. One minister of the gospel in Kitwe, advanced in technology, has his phone programmed to tell him what he was going to be doing at 10 hours, to tell him what we'll be doing at 15, to tell him what we'll be doing on Thursday. And the foreigners repeatedly continued to remind him what he must be doing, and he has repeatedly shut it down. The foreigners reminded him, if this was normal, you would be teaching. If this was normal, you would be visiting this family. If it was not for COVID-19, you would be on the bus to Lusaka. And COVID-19 again and again is announcing, do not take life and your way of life for granted. Listen to James again. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. As far as they are concerned, life will run no more. When tomorrow comes, it will come. We'll get into Lusaka, we'll get into Johannesburg, we'll get into Dubai, we will go to whichever place and we will do our business there. And the text in verse 14 tells us, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. No one knew probably as far back as September last year or November. Everybody was okay. 2020 will run as normal. Life will be as usual. We will go to work as we do. I will be on leave and go to the Big Fours. Lo and behold, COVID-19 came. Life was no longer the same. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, instead you must say, regarding tomorrow, regarding every moment in the future, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. And notice the priority of the scriptures. The scriptures are not saying, if the Lord wills, we'll do this and that. That's a wrong priority. The priority is, if God wills, we will live. Only when we have life can we then say, we will do this and that. In other words, James is saying, don't take life for granted. Well, to take something for granted is to assume that you always get what you have now. Now, some of you children listening, you just take it for granted. There will be lunch today. Well, this passage is saying there may be no lunch. This passage is saying to those of us as parents that are listening that come 2022, I am looking for a promotion. We are assuming 2022 will come. This passage is saying, don't take it for granted. Many of us are studying, probably hoping to have a PhD. A master's degree, a bachelor's degree, and you've basically said in 4 years' time, I will have my bachelor's degree. This text is saying, don't take that for granted. You may have no PhD because the institution you are studying with may not be accredited. You may have no PhD because you don't know you'll have finances to pay your fees. This text is saying, do not take life for granted. It's not yours. There is somebody in charge of life. And COVID-19 is a call to the fact that we must not take life for granted or even our way of life. No one of us, even in an infinite way of thinking, did think that we'll be going to ShopRite and Pep and Consensus Shop with a mask, even though you have difficulties to breathe. No one guessed that would happen. COVID-19, as far as the scriptures are concerned, is a call not to take life and your way of life granted. You probably, as a family, you were going out to eat at the mall, whichever place you'd eat. Your wife didn't cook on a certain day. Well, not anymore. You can't go out and sit. You buy and take home. You took that for granted. The scriptures have news regarding the principles as COVID-19 is calling us to. To take something for granted is to assume that you always get what you have now, or always continue to have in future what you have in the present. And this kind of thinking makes one not appreciate how special it is, the thing they have. Yesterday, Saturday, Askawana came to the office. He was saying today to me, you know, when you're listening to the sermon, sometimes it doesn't make sense. And we were dealing with the later series in Hebrews, and one of them is, let us not give up meeting together. Now, probably in that context, it didn't sound important. It was, that's what pastors do. Well, today, the concern is different. Almost everyone I talk to, what is it that you miss? The first word is fellowship. We're at church. Well, we took that for granted. We assumed every Sunday we'll come and meet. Oh, guess what? We're meeting in your home today. Don't take life for granted. May I say at this point that I hope that you will continue to say fellowship is important, because as human beings, we miss fellowship for the past weeks. The moment we meet for 2 weeks, we'll become bored. Home. What has happened to missing fellowship? Don't take life for granted. If, for example, you take your food, your freedom, your amenities of life for granted, you assume you always have those things, and as such, you don't pause to appreciate those things as special. James is saying, stop and pause. Appreciate the things you have, and think of tomorrow in the context of a sovereign God that will give you life, and when he does give you life, he will give you ability to do what you've planned to do. Those of you that are vehicles, there are many times you've planned. On Tuesday, you're traveling to Kabompo, and you put your fuel and everything. Come the day you are supposed to travel, get in your car, try to start it, refuses. The whole day goes by. You plan to travel. The vehicle refuses. Don't take life for granted. The fact that you have life today does not mean you'll have life tomorrow. There is no guarantee. Take stock of your life. Take stock of your blessings. Take stock of the small things. Appreciate who you have and what you have. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. This is what James is warning against, taking life for granted. This is also what Luke is warning against, taking life for granted. And very quickly, I did indicate it's more topical as opposed to opening up the text fully. Let's listen to what the Lord says in Luke chapter 12, again in the context of anxiety, verse 15 to 21. And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What is true regarding this person called a fool is that he took life for granted. He just assumed he will live for many more years. Listen to his language. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to me, you have ample goods laid up for many years. He's assuming he's going to live for a long, long time. And because he assumes this, here is what he says, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. You probably are looking forward to your gratuity, looking forward to your pension, comes on time, looking forward to this bonus and the huge profit from your business, and you're saying to yourself, when this money comes, we will put away this wreck and for once buy a Mercedes Benz and just enjoy life. Listen to the text. Listen to the text. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. Well, in case you missed the language, this night you'll die. You assumed you live forever, you are dying. Your plans will not work. What you want to enjoy will be enjoyed by somebody else. What is it that the Lord is saying? Do not take life for granted. And COVID-19 is a reality call. No one foresaw this. Our life has been messed up. Our lives have been turned around. If it was for COVID-19, we'll probably be, if it wasn't for COVID-19, we'd be having our quarterly business meeting coming Saturday. We would have had some outing with the youths and obviously good eating. It didn't happen. Why? COVID. What did it check us on? Don't take life for granted. The pictures we have in James and Luke are those of the self-made men and women. It is the pictures of taking credit for what God has given us. Life lived this way exhibits or reveals an attitude that puts man in God's place. For this reason, it is evil, James tells us. What is implied by don't take life for granted is that you should make the most of it now, because that's all you are really guaranteed. The only certainty you have is this moment. Anything beyond it, there is no guarantee you'll have it. And there is a better way to do this than what is described by Christ as being rich towards God. The best way to make the best of this moment, work at being rich towards Christ. COVID-19 has unmistakably made the world realize that taking life for granted is surely foolish. There is no such guarantees that what is here will be there tomorrow. The only certainty there is in this life now, not even in the whole of this day, is a certainty as a certainty is now. Now is the only certainty we have. Do not take life for granted. Live life with conscious dependence on God, being aware of God's sovereign control over all of life. If you read Acts 21, 1 Corinthians 4, 19, Philippians 2, 19, and you read these passages later, that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. That's how you live. Listen to these passages very quickly. Acts 18, 20, 21, they had asked him, when they had asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, I will return to you if God wills. And he set sail from Ephesus. 1 Corinthians 4, 18, 19. Some are arrogant as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon if the Lord wills. And I'll find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. 1 Corinthians 16, 5 to 7. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. Philippians 2, 19, 23 to 24. I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how to go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come. The Apostle Paul, like James, did not take life for granted. It depended on the sovereign one who is in control of all things. James presented four arguments that show the foolishness of ignoring God's will or taking life for granted. One, it is the complexity of life. Verse 13 of James chapter 4, life is complex. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town, spend a year there and trade and make a profit. You cannot guarantee the outcome of your profits. You cannot guarantee the theft of your journeys. You cannot guarantee the winds of the day. You're thinking about the complexities of life are all in God's hands. But he also calls us not to take life for granted because of the uncertainty of life. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. Chapter 14a. Not only that, the brevity of life, the shortness of life. He calls it simply a passing phase. You hear to there and tomorrow you are not. You snuffed out in a moment. But also he looks at the frailty or fragility of life. Life is fragile. Life is brittle. That's what I hope to spend much time on. In reflecting on these lessons, don't take life for granted. But what else, very quickly, do we learn regarding COVID-19? Secondly, COVID-19, as far as the general principles of the scriptures are concerned, is a call to evaluate your priorities. It is a call to evaluate priorities. And as we read the scriptures in Matthew and Luke, life itself is what must be your priority. The fact that you live. And the argument people are making is biblically valid. So when people say, how can we stay home when there is no food? Well, that's a question to do with life. Were you asking me to stay home to live? Well, how am I going to live if I have no food? So when it comes to choosing between looking for food or preventing myself from acquiring COVID, guess what the priority will be? Look for food. Look for food. And in a sense, that's the government has a responsibility. No one has the ability to stay home. They must go out. And if they are not able, they are vulnerable. They are vulnerable, so they need help. Simply to tell us stay home, even when we stay home, we are not going to eat, will not happen. And COVID-19 is basically then saying, evaluate your priorities. So I ask you, beloved, what are your priorities? You remember and you know that as you stay home, certain things you thought you can't do without, all of a sudden, they are not important anymore. Not important anymore. You know, some I know who are home, they assumed if I don't go to the bar, in a technically one day, no mos, you know, it can't happen. Where you've been home, have you had mosi? Been home, you've had no hungry lion. All you've had is probably shima with mlembwe. You're surviving. Evaluate your priorities. Some of the things you do in life can be done away with. Thirdly, COVID-19, as far as the general principles of the scriptures are concerned, exposes the impotence, that is, the incapability or powerlessness of humanity, nations or civilizations, in contrast to the almightiness of God. And I say this not to mock or look down on the U.S. The president, before this situation became worse, basically said something to this effect. We will defeat it. I mean, America can overcome anything. What can? Well, the language is different. The language is different. The most powerful nation, China, the US, UK, they've been made to realize we are not so powerful after all. We are not so powerful after all. They thought they had tip-top medical facilities, overwhelmed. Not so powerful after all. Not so powerful after all. You thought you were in control of your life. COVID-19 has told you somebody does. Who has spoken and it came to pass? Unless the Lord has commanded it. That's what Lamentation 3:37 will tell us. Who has spoken and it came to pass? In other words, whose word is powerful to bring things to pass? No one except God. Isaiah 46:9-11. Remember the former things of old. For I am God. That's Isaiah 46:9-11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purposes, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken and I'll bring it to pass. I have purposed and I will do it. Only God. You and I can say as much as we want, can dream as much as we want, can work as hard as we want. Only God. Guess what? Scientists must do their best. Countries must put out their resources. Oh, but the news is simply this: unless God. Unless God intervenes, we'll grapple with COVID-19. Unless the Lord intervenes. I just learned yesterday, we've been wrestling with HIV/AIDS for 36 years. We are not succeeding yet. We are powerless. Guess what? We have found no remedy for cancer. We are a powerless humanity. COVID-19 is that reality. Who thought planes can be grounded in a twinkling of an eye? COVID-19 is a reminder and it exposes our powerlessness. COVID-19 has exposed our illusion of being in control. If for some reason you thought you were in charge of your life, you were just like I was, probably being naive. We need to walk in faith, filled surrender lies before the one who is in control. Probably listening to me, never stepped your foot in church, never asked what is life all about, I have news for you. If you're living your life, you are living an illusioned life. Surrender your life to the Savior. Fourthly, COVID-19, as far as the general principles of the scriptures are concerned, has radically exposed the hypocrisy and wickedness of humanity, nations, and civilizations. Just one example will suffice here. You know, COVID-19 has made nations and people, you know, appear like we value life. You know, we really want to protect our lives. So wear a mask, cough in your elbow, 2 meters apart, because if you don't do this, you die. It's like we value life. We are a bunch of hypocrites. We don't. And one area of life is simply this. Babies are being killed every day. No one is making noise. According to the World Health Organization, every year in the world, there are an estimated 40 to 56 million abortions. 40 to 56 million abortions. Now, in thinking about our country, that is, well, I'll come to those statistics, but let me read it this way. This corresponds every day to 125,000 babies die. 125,000 every day. Babies die. I'm not sure you've recorded such a death from COVID. And we've had 40,000 die in a day, plus 125,000 today. As you're listening to this, an average of 125,000 babies will die. And some of them you're probably responsible for. And you pretend you value life. Do you? The population of Zambia is wiped out 3 times every year. 3 times. Imagine that the population of Zambia, if it's 17, 18, 3 times. Population of Zambia is out every year. 3 Zambias are out every single year. Kanmakar Institute reported that in 2014, 926,200 abortions were done each year, an abortion rate of 14% in a certain age group. In 2017, 13%, 15 in the age of 15 to 44 years, and some foolish and flimsy reasons are simply because I need to go to college. You value life? What hypocrisy. What do the scriptures say? You shall not murder. So don't hide in wearing masks and pretend you value life when you're responsible for genocides. The governments are quiet. Nobody is putting legislation in place to stop the massacre of innocent lives. Lastly, COVID-19, as far as general principles of the scriptures are concerned, has exposed in many situations the church reversal of priorities or primacies of its mission. I was internet just reading on what the church is doing in the current situation. What the church is doing. Everything I read has to do with physical responses. Now, the church has provided masks. The church has provided food. The church has joined the army to go to those who are in need. The church has done this physically. No single article has said the church is spreading the gospel. No single one. Reversed the priority. We should be reading not only on the internet, but us as a local church, that this opportunity reminds people they are imminently going to die, and unless they die in Christ, the food we'll have provided will be of no use. Please, I'm not saying don't do the other things, but don't reverse the priorities. It's the gospel first. The emphasis of the church, and indeed individual sense, is the importance in social needs instead of the gospel. It must be the gospel first and then others. Here is a test you can do on your own. Read the gospels and notice the order there, even where Christ healed. In 90% of the cases, it's always, and he preached and then healed. That's not simply writing order. It's a priority order. The gospel first. The gospel of Mark even is outstanding. The beginning of the gospel. It is first. In the scriptures we read, seek the kingdom of God first. Then clothes and food and other things will follow. As Christians, as local churches, let's be reminded of these general principles regarding COVID-19 from the scriptures. And one of my passion this morning was simply to say this: don't take life for granted. Are you a member of Undola Baptist Church? You will not always be. Do the best you can when you are still here. Do the best you can for your family now. Do the best you can for your husband, for your mother, for your do the best now, because there will come a time you will not be. So grateful for the praise team's availability, that even in challenging times like this one, we're striving to do our best. If you're not saved, the best you must do is to look to Christ for salvation. COVID-19 is a reality check. Check yours. See where you stand. Let's pray. Father, circumstances of life bring us to situations and times when we must stand, we must sit, we must lie down and contemplate on life, priorities, emergencies, things that matter, and people to whom we are responsible and for whom we are responsible. The gifts you've given us, the fellowships we have. We do ask that in the context of COVID-19, as we continue to plead, this virus may soon pass, but may we, in the context of it, look to the scriptures and see what it's calling us to, what it has exposed, our hypocrisies, our vulnerability, the call to value the things we have. All help us, but even more so, that if there is a soul that is rescheduling to look to Christ, assuming they'll be here tomorrow, all I plead that you may so forcefully work in their lives, cause them to remember that they do not know about tomorrow. The only reality they know is today. The day of salvation is now. Cause them to be saved by repentance and faith in your Savior, the Lord Jesus. As a local church, help us not to take life we enjoy, facilities we have, fellowships, and avenues of ministry for granted. Help us to be in urgency mode, to be in the drive mode, and be at the right speed in doing the things you've entrusted to us. Thank you that you are God who speaks, even in critical and crisis times. We ask that you continue to speak and to comfort us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.